Ryan Garcia, he literally lost his mind from head trauma, CTE, whatever, but he was acting so crazy. He didn't make weight. He's drinking a beer on the official weigh-in.
What sold me on like, oh, he's gonna lose was when he didn't make weight. But apparently there was strategy involved.
He got all of us.
Karate Combat's been doing this for a minute.
The dome is sick and they have a lot of cool names.
It's called a pit.
Oh, my bad. Cause it's not a dome.
Yeah, it's definitely a pit.
It's the inverse of a dome.
Yeah, I love when they find in the concave spear. Wrong, Nick.
Seeing Khalil Rountree get a main event against a former champ, they're gonna definitely build him up. There's always the top comment that says, Khalil Rountree fights like he's beating somebody up like they owe him money.
Oh, do you remember that? Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
No.
That oblique kick.
Oh! Show this clip, but just like blur that part out because that's insane. Is that kick, should that be happening in this sport? The Casuals. We are an MMA and combat sports show hosted by very casual fans that don't know anything at all. Guess what? It's just me and Nick, baby.
We got stood up today. We got
Japanese
stood up.
Business deal.
Oh,
so
good. Okay.
So unfortunately, our fearless short shorts Korean leader, David, is not here. Unfortunately, his flight was delayed. He's doing some work and probably having some fun in Hawaii, but he will be back here next week.
I caught him at customs, dude. He had too many spam masubis in his
bag.
They're
like, hey, man, a lot of pork in your pocket.
They're like, these are 10 masubis. The limit is 5.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Too many spam musubis.
It's going to smell like seaweed.
Is it musubi or musubi?
You're asking the wrong guy, honestly.
Try your best.
Musubi.
There we go.
Is that right?
Wrong.
What is it?
I don't know. I think it's either musubi or musubi.
I call them onigiris. That's just how I kind of like, that's how I rock.
Dude, you're so jealous.
It's not the same though, isn't it?
But David's not here. So, and you're probably like, well, why didn't you guys bring a guest in? Well, last minute, we were supposed to have a guest here.
A special guest, too.
A very special guest. I don't want to reveal.
He's an important guy.
Important guy to the UFC. I'll say that.
Not even. To the MMA world.
The MMA world.
He's a darling.
UFC. What other leagues are there? Razan.
Name more. PFL?
Bellator. Keep going. How many leagues can we go? Tell us how much.
Legacy.
Forge.
Fury Fights.
Combate.
Oh! LFA.
MFO.
Nah, that's not a thing.
I know.
What's MFO?
I'll say LAMFO.
Oh, okay.
Ryan,
like the band.
Ryan. Okay. Shout out to Ryan and May. But we had a special guest who was going to be here today, but unfortunately he had to cancel. Not his fault. He's also doing some other MMA stuff, but he's going to come back on the show, and we're going to get some juicy details on some fighters and some just insight to the MMA world. I'm very excited for him.
He's a lot closer to the fighters than you think.
Oh. Maybe Daniel Cormier punched him in the face before.
Nah, don't say that.
No, is that true?
No, that never happened.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
Just the camera angle. Like, anyways, let's continue.
Yeah, let's continue. We're hyping something that may not happen because he could cancel again.
He could just never show up again.
Yeah, but guys, I'm here with Nick Dunn, the only real fighter we'll ever have on this show.
Not true.
And myself, Gilbert. Round of applause for John Nah.
John Nah. Third mic.
Third mic today, and obviously changed the setup like 18 times.
Appreciate you, John.
You know, things happen when you're in the podcast producing world.
Evolving.
All right, let's get into some fight recap. Let's just jump right into it. The hottest news on the market right now, the market price for this is delicioso. John, are you familiar with Ryan Garcia?
A little bit.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, come on.
Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney happened this past weekend. Probably the biggest fight in a while in boxing. A lot of buildup. Two young fighters, both 25, have fought a total of 7 times now. They split it before the fight this weekend, 3-3. And now it's 4-3. Mm-hmm. I wonder who won, Ryan Garcia.
Insane. Crazy.
It's crazy. I believe he was the underdog going into this fight.
It was like as high as like plus 700 at some point.
We should have put money, huh?
Honestly, look, I don't remember how we talked about it in the last episode, but I remember it being at the very end, and we're all like, Devin Haney.
Devin Haney.
Absolutely.
Devin Haney.
Because we saw the antics going into the fight, and in my head, I'm like, Ryan Garcia is either, he literally lost his mind from head trauma, CTE, whatever, but he was acting so crazy. He didn't make weight. He's drinking a beer. On the official weigh-in.
What sold me on like, oh, he's going to lose was when he didn't make weight.
Yeah.
And he was acting like a goofball because of it. But apparently, there was strategy involved.
Dude, let me tell you. He got all of us.
Yeah.
even Devin Haney was like, oh, I'm about to beat his... Okay, do you see the clip of Ryan Garcia? They're doing the face-off.
Is this the singing one?
The singing one, where he's singing...
This? Okay, yeah. You be him. I'll be Devin Haney.
Like, and he's just rap. I don't know what the fuck. He's like, ooh, girl, come on. And he's just singing away.
Keep going.
And he's just dancing, dancing. He's like, yeah, that's all I got.
And then... Yeah, I don't think Ryan Garcia is taking the fight seriously. Play that clip, Michael.
Doing what I do. All white. Looking nice. Okay. Come through.
I don't know if Ryan Garcia is taking the fight serious or not.
Like, it's insane. You're like, yeah, I don't think he is. Because he's just singing, dancing. Devin Haney's like, I've known this guy since I was 15. He's acting kind of crazy.
Right? Yeah, yeah. They fought amateurs all together.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of moments, too, where Devin Haney's like, we need to check this guy's mental health. Like, he should not be fighting. And there was a lot of people saying that. We should. This guy's going crazy. It'd be a shame to watch him fight and get beat up. Because that's what we all thought. We thought he was going to go out there and get slaughtered.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't even the Nevada Athletic State Commission also kind of go like, hey, we're going to check on your mental health?
I guess
seems kind of serious.
I don't know if they do that normally in boxing fights. Or if they do like a mental health check. Mm-hmm. I think that might be standard in like the athletic commissions. But he passed it with flying colors.
Yeah. With like, I'm jam when the people down. Like, what are you doing? All right. So we'll get more into the storylines and kind of like the aftermath of all of it. But just the fight itself. Let's do a quick breakdown of the fight. Were you expecting Ryan? Like, what was your feeling right when he knocked down Gervonta early on?
You mean Devin Haney? Or another Devin. Black eye? Whoa! Okay. Fucked up.
Whoa.
So me and my wife, we started watching a fight.
Yeah.
And she's like, and she was saying, we shouldn't watch this fight. You know, she's saying all that stuff.
Wait,
he's
what was
mentally
her? What
ill.
Was her?
Like,
oh, so she was saying like, this is messed up.
He's not okay. Yeah, yeah. This is not good. Yada, yada, whatever. And I was like, look, he's going to be fine. Like, he's a fighter. He's done this before. Some guys are crazy outside the ring. And then when they do fight, they put it all together. So I'm explaining to her. She's like, what do you think is going to happen? I was like, Ryan Garcia has a crazy left hand, that left hook.
We all know about it. It's every fighter knows about it, yeah.
It's the Alex Pereira equalizer in a lot of ways, right? So he's going out there. I told her, I was like, he could still catch Devin Haney, but I'm expecting Devin Haney to use his jab a lot, be a more technical fighter, pick him apart. Mm-hmm. And especially, I wasn't expecting Ryan Garcia. Foolishly, I was not expecting him to beat his game. And he got all of us, bro.
Yeah.
He dropped him how many times this fight?
So I think technically three, but some people are saying like it should have been six. And I'm a little confused about the ref situation. I forgot about it, but like,
to my understanding in boxing, if you get rocked and you need to, and you're falling over and you fall on the ropes, you fall on Ryan Garcia, the ref, anybody, that usually counts as a knockdown.
Even if you're holding on to someone and you get knocked out?
I think so. I think in the context, like, knockdown, they should give him a knockdown or a standing eight or something, because there were so many moments in this fight where I didn't think Devin Haney could make it out of the round.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a lot of the moments, Devin Haney is walking up on Ryan Garcia and he does that cool defense where he puts his butt on him.
Oh, dude.
And he turns away and he shells up, and Devin Haney couldn't really do anything with that. But
bro, also this, okay, look. Just a side tangent, doing that butt maneuver situation where, like, hey, I'll take the body shots and hit my left butt cheek while you're at it. This is why I don't think a Ryan Garcia can come to MMA and fight Sean O'Malley. Because then as soon as you give that, hey, number one rule in MMA, don't give the butt up. Because you give that butt up, your back's getting
He's going to grab the hips.
And then Izzy's going to go, ka-ka!
Yeah, he's going to hump you for sure.
Hey, really quick. So when you're watching this fight, right, he gets the knockdown early on, and then you see Devin kind of like, okay, regroup, and he keeps winning round after round. Were you like, oh, it's fine. It was just a flash thing at the beginning. Did you expect round seven, I think, and like, what was it, 10, 11, and whatever, for Ryan?
For him to get continuously knocked down?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that, man. I wasn't expecting that. Like, I thought eventually Devin Haney was going to recompose himself.
That's what I thought, too.
And he was. He was doing a good job, but then... That equalizer, he's got power in the late rounds. And, dude, his punches are so fast.
Bro, what?
And I bet the mental part of it, too, is Devin Haney's going out there being like, man, I can't lose to this crazy fucking guy.
Honestly, I think he was in his head a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if I lose to this cokehead, whatever he thought of Ryan.
Yeah.
Oof.
Because you look at Devin Haney, right? Devin Haney is undisputed, meaning he's undefeated, yeah. Right?
29, what is he, like
20? He's like 30-0 or something crazy. Yeah. I don't know what his exact record
is. Beat Lomachenko.
Yeah, which I thought he lost, by the way.
But hey, on the record,
he won. Still right? Name. So he's beating all these guys. He's ranked as like one of the top pound-for-pound guys in the sport. Mm-hmm. Big name. And then for Ryan Garcia, it's out there looking like he didn't train. He's admitting to drinking every single day up until the fight. And he goes out there and I don't want to say slaughters Devin Haney, but kind of slaughtered Devin Haney. I don't really remember any punches that were notable that Devin Haney hit him with.
One or two, but nothing like what Ryan did.
I felt like the most of the fight, he was just on ice skates. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's unfair to Devin Haney, but... Dude, he was hurt so bad in that fight. And for him to even make it to 12 rounds is incredible.
Yeah.
His chin is out of control. So,
What?
You don't know shit about boxing, bro. None of us know shit about fighting.
So
straight up.
So exciting, though.
That's why the sport's fun.
So exciting when you get these very specific matchups that are kind of like historic in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the best thing about boxing is these one fights, these one-off fights.
Well, it's, you know, just like MMA, it's...
Let me ask you.
It's the stars that make it. Ryan Garcia is very polarizing, but he is a star. When you hear him speak, and going into the fight, remember he called the bridge falling? In Baltimore. He kind of called it.
All right, okay. So, okay, we're done with the fight, all right? Okay, we're done with the fight analysis. Now let's get into...
The fun stuff.
So, Ryan Garcia was on Patrick Bet-David's podcast, Nick's favorite podcast now.
PBD, baby.
Not the PBD. You know what, PBD? Come on this pod.
Yeah, come on, PBD.
Come back to California for a bit.
Yeah, leave your $40 million mansion.
In Florida. Come back to California. but yeah, Ryan was on there, and so it was like one of the first big interviews. We both watched it today. I watched it live. I was like, oh, what's this? And to hear Ryan Garcia so like
calm,
explaining everything to a T that was like design, like genius. The marketing and PBD's mind is like, bro, you marketed the shit out of this. Me and my partner thought you were on coke, you were acting crazy, you were unwell, and Ryan's like, yeah.
Bro, he nailed it.
And from what I understand, he didn't tell anybody, not even his parents, his trainers, Bernard Hopkins, Oscar
really?
De La Hoya. The only person that knew was one camera guy. Even his other friends in the crew didn't know.
Really?
Because the other his buddy was like, bro, you should... We should just act really crazy and just tell everyone. I'm like, that's it?
Did you see the... So the video of... Ryan Garcia at the, the media weigh-ins, where he's drinking the beer, the quote-unquote beer.
At the weigh-in, right?
That turned out to be just, he says it's apple juice and sparkling water, which is fucking hilarious. Yeah. So funny. So he chugs the beer. The look on Oscar De La Hoya's face.
Terrified.
While he's like, what the fuck is going on to my star golden boy?
It's worse than me. Yeah. And I do coke every day.
And like, I'm known for it. It's kind of my thing.
Yeah. To see Oscar... Nervous?
That made me nervous.
That made all of us nervous.
Yeah.
But Ryan, man, in this interview and kind of the things that have been coming out, like the beer thing.
He's a genius, bro.
But I will say this. He did say he admitted to the alcohol saying, no, I did drink, though.
He was drinking a bunch.
And then Bernard Hopkins, he's like, yeah, Bernard Hopkins hates it. He doesn't even like when I do weed or any of that, but you know. So
he's old school.
Maybe Ryan should also just maybe not do that in camp.
Well, you know, he probably shouldn't, but...
No, he shouldn't, Nick. Don't even try to play that. He shouldn't.
I don't know, man.
Think about what he could do without.
I saw a really funny meme of Ryan Garcia, John Jones, and Conor McGregor saying that the best base for combat sports is cocaine. And they might be right.
The best base.
Because there is something to fighting a guy who just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Something about that is really scary. Granted, if he has really good cardio and he has
power left.
Dude, right? I couldn't believe how fast some of these shots were that he was throwing in the fight.
It's crazy.
Too.
Like, you see it when he's like training on mitts, but like, ah, that's just mitts.
Yeah.
You see it happen. I thought he was faster in this fight than even the Tank fight.
And absolutely.
Would you say the weight and all those like hydration clauses?
Yeah.
I didn't know that Ryan couldn't weigh more than 100. So, for people listening, when he fought, he lost a Tank. You look at the pictures of
him. Is that 140-ish, right? Or like
135. And then the rehydration clause was he couldn't weigh more than 145.
Yeah, so he couldn't gain more than 10 pounds, which is so crazy.
They do, so he was saying, like, that's fucked up. So, like, my brain's dehydrated. I'm just weaker. For this fight, he weighed up to 160.
Wow.
So I'm like, also, why do they do that?
Yeah, it's
so much gamesmanship in the terms for boxing. I don't know about the glove stuff or even...
Yeah, but even that becomes a whole thing, right? Like, I want horsehair gloves. No, I want these kinds of gloves, whatever. You hear that in, like, a lot of negotiations when it comes to boxing fights.
Not UFC. UFC's like, hey, you're going to poke each other's eyes. This is what you're using. Use this glove.
But that's the reason why there's an argument for putting all the fighters under one promotion, right? And then you get a guy like a visionary leader like Dana White himself.
Whoa, are you an apologist?
No, I'm not an apologist. Bro, Dana White... come on, people are haters, dog. Yeah. People are haters on Dana White for all the stuff he does.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But, like, no one's moved the sport farther than that guy.
Yeah.
Right? 100%. As far as MMA.
100%.
But when it comes to boxing, it's like, we want to see Ryan Garcia beat the best guys. Ryan Garcia wants Tank.
Yeah.
Right?
Rematch all day.
Yeah, he wants that fight, but apparently Tank doesn't want to come, according to Ryan Garcia.
He doesn't want to come up and wait.
Because I didn't know he was 135. I forgot that. So a lot of these guys are way smaller because they're so secretive about their weight, how much they weigh.
It's a big thing in boxing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so public. You know what people weigh before and after a fight. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited for Ryan to do that rematch on his terms because I think he kind of has momentum right now.
Oh, absolutely. Bro, the ball's in his court.
All the balls, including the $12 million. So if you guys don't know, Ryan Garcia also... So first of all, if you're new to boxing or don't really follow it closely, Ryan missed weight by 3 pounds.
Yeah.
And he made a deal with... I keep saying Gervonta.
Yeah.
Race. I got to just...
You want to call him Floyd Mayweather next?
Yeah, you know what? With LeBron James.
Let's call him Devin.
Devin Haney. He said he would be for every pound that he weighed over the weight limit, he'd pay him, what, $500,000?
Yeah.
So 3 pounds, $1.5 million already went to Devin Haney.
Yeah.
But Ryan had a little something-something in his back pocket. He bet on himself to win, which I did not know you could do that.
Yeah.
And he won $12 million. So basically
that's insane.
That's how we got paid. Yeah. Was a
that's
bet.
That's insane.
Also, I did not think athletes could do that.
Apparently, like, Floyd Mayweather used to always talk about how he would do that.
Only if,
like,
you win, is that the thing?
Yeah, you can't, like, try to bet yourself and lose, because that's when it gets, obviously, really fishy, right? Like, we saw the James Krause thing.
Yeah.
His fighter, Derek Minor.
Lost.
Lost in the second round due to an injury or something like that. And they had bet on that. They won some money. That's the reason why they're under investigation, right? That's why James Krause is banned from the UFC.
Yeah.
So, it is pretty crazy. But once again, speaking of the genius on King Ryan, for him to have that foresight to pull that off, to have the balls to ride out a $2 million bet to Vegas when he's like plus 700 or whatever the odds were.
Oh, my God.
That's a big fucking deal.
$2 million on yourself.
But
$12 million.
We talk, a lot of times people talk about this in the UFC where if fighters, they miss weight, there's a disproportionate amount of fighters who miss weight that actually have a higher win percentage because of they're not killing themselves to make those 3 extra pounds. Because you lose so much in those 3 extra pounds and then your ability to rehydrate, yada, yada, yada. So maybe you should just not make weight so you could have the advantage going into the fight. But
kinda
they're so specific with the weight and the gamesmanship, like you said about the hydration clause. They got to get rid of that. That's fucking lame.
All at the contractual stuff before a fight, I did not know how intense that was in boxing.
Yeah,
they care so much about everything.
I think that's the reason why these fights don't get made.
Take too long.
They take way too long.
Because
that's the biggest argument is, like, Tank doesn't want to come up to 140, 145. And if you're Tank, fuck, you saw Ryan Garcia look big and strong at 143.
Yeah, like a killer, dude.
Bro, he's big.
Killer.
He's a tall, strong guy. And with his left hook is out of control. I really can't comprehend how fast it is in the fight.
Okay, so let's get into something. So he had the foresight. Is it foresight? Forsythe. What is it, John?
Not Scythe.
Oh, Scyther is a Pokemon.
Yeah. We're not talking about that.
Shout out to that Pokemon. He's a bug type.
Stupid.
He's a bug type of Pokemon. He also predicted the bridge in Baltimore. falling down.
What's the odds on that?
That's insane.
He was saying so much wild shit. He was talking about Bohemian Grove.
Which I didn't really know too much about Bohemian Grove. So is that just basically a private club back dating back to the 80s where some weird stuff happens?
I think it's the elites. That's what they call it. We're all the elites, the people that run the world, the billionaires, the kajillionaires, and they just like to have sex parties where they bring in kids.
Kids?
That's what it is, right, John?
Yeah, skulls and bones.
Skulls and bones.
Oh, God. So he was talking about this early on in the promotion of the fight, and people are like, bro, he's crazy. He has no evidence. He's crazy. But then he comes out on PBD and talks about it. When you see him talk about it,
yeah, he fired up about
it. He turns off kind of the character of like the real. It's like, I'm serious. This is fucked up.
Yeah.
And I have evidence, and another guy has it, and we're going to expose it on a documentary.
That's sick.
I'm like, good. But it's, God, Ryan, well, man.
Alex Jones technically already exposed it.
So it is true.
It is true, yeah. He filmed it.
Really? Alex Jones?
But also, it's like, Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in a little hot water right now. Yeah. He's still in hot water.
Always hot. He's boiling. He's a crab that's been boiling forever.
Yeah,
the thing in hot water all the time.
If you want to take out Bohemian Grove, you got to make sure you don't have any theories on Sandy Hook. You can't.
That's the prerequisite if you want people to side with you.
Yeah, you can't be talking about how Sandy Hook was a
God.
This is okay. Yeah. We might be demonetized for even saying
that. Say
that,
so bleep it out, Michael. but Ryan Garcia, man, all this crazy stuff, the coke allegations, all that.
He says he don't do coke. You believe it?
I do believe it. And I do believe he smokes a lot of weed and drinks. I do believe that.
Yeah. He said he was going through a divorce. Did you know that?
Yeah. And then that's why he was with so many OF models on his Instagram page, which made me also think, this guy is not taking this seriously. There's a new girl every like...
Oh, that was like a shtick he was doing? I saw one video of him like kissing some girl, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
You know, and I looked at the girl, I was like, "Dude, you're gonna lose. What are you doing?"
Yeah, because you can't be having sex before fights. That's what they tell you.
Speaking about sex and fights, I learned all this also a little more about P. Diddy from Ryan Garcia's podcast.
Yeah,
PBD.
He's talking about
Carl Winslow, and I'm getting this wrong, John. You can look it up. It's Carl Winslow has some Diddy allegations as well.
Dude, a lot of people got Diddy allegations.
But I don't know if it has to do with Diddy or somebody else. But Ryan called it out and made it really. He's very funny.
Yeah,
he made some funny jokes.
That's the other thing too, is I didn't realize what a fun guy he was. Yeah, I wasn't really a fan going into this fight because I was like, I didn't really.
It
kind
of turned me off a bit. Some of the antics.
Yeah, I was like, I'm good, bro. I don't know if I want to watch this. Yada yada yada. And then watching him do the 180 and just seeing what a marketing genius he is, I'm like, fuck, I can't not be a fan now.
Yeah.
He's a stud, dude.
But yeah.
Yeah, 50 Cent alleges that P. Diddy had a sexual relationship with Carl Winslow.
So they share this story. They read this on PBD's podcast. It's Carl Winslow from, or you said 50 Cent?
Reginald Vell Johnson.
Yes. On Family Matters. And then Ryan goes, I guess family don't matter. Like, this guy's got zingers, man.
That's fucking hilarious.
But that's wild.
He was even shitting on for Devin Haney. He's like, he'd be kicking with P. Diddy. Oh,
yeah. Bro, he was going off.
He's nailing it. Very topical, this guy.
Yeah, very, really good with the zeitgeist.
Yeah, he could be a comedian, I think.
Dang, I didn't know this. Izzy bet $20K on Devin Haney? Damn. Yeah, bro. There was something funny Izzy did. You know how Garcia was doing all these like Instagram lives?
Yeah.
He's always like walking around and talking.
Uh-huh.
And then Izzy popped in and because he like literally Ryan Garcia was just talking, like just rambling, walking in circles. And then Izzy types him, "Where's this guy walking?" And then Ryan, he's like, "Honestly, man, I don't know. I'm just walking in circles." But the whole time he's walking.
That's the most sane thing he could have said.
His apartment.
But honestly,
I'm excited for, but see, boxing does these things and gets me all excited.
Well, man. But once again, it's just the character.
Yeah.
It's the character of Ryan Garcia. Like,
he can't repeat it. He cannot repeat this. That's the problem.
He might find another way to do it.
We all know.
Yeah. But man, how genius was that?
Yeah.
Like, the balls on his kid. And then to go out there and perform the way he did is incredible. He pitched a shutout, dude.
Yeah.
He made Devin Haney look so bad to the point where everybody was questioning his pound for pound status and saying, I think Devin Haney's actually underrated, like overrated.
Yeah.
And that's how.
And I like Haney. That sucks for him, man. He's getting all this stuff now.
And that left hook, and he said he broke his jaw apparently. His cheek was all busted afterwards. So we'll see what happens. I think they're talking about the rematch, but he's even shutting that down too.
Yeah, he's ready to move on.
He's like, I'm good off of this.
Yeah, I see. Right, Sean O'Malley in boxing.
Oh, that'd be insane.
That'll be fun. That's a good time.
I heard Sean O'Malley, he had a quote and he was saying, I just need a couple more fights now. If I make a couple more fights, the UFC's actually down. And they say, as long as that makes everybody a shit ton of money, let's fucking do it. Ooh. So they're open, but I think the numbers have to be right. I don't know what numbers they're looking for, but
they don't want small numbers.
No.
They don't want those big, like, Conor Floyd numbers. That's what you need.
That's going to be insane.
Yeah, man. We'll see what happens with boxing Ryan Garcia. I'm definitely, like, now locked into his career again.
Absolutely.
So much stuff is going to happen.
More than ever now.
Yeah.
And now there's a reason to pay attention to him because you're like, holy shit, this guy's actually beating the best in the world.
He might be King Ryan.
He King Ryan right now.
He King Ryan.
He's got the world in his fingertips or palms? Which one?
The way you
say?
Said it was like, I don't know how hands work.
Yeah. What would you say is better?
That's a good point. Fingertips.
No, let's move on. We're not talking about that. That's supposed to be a throwaway.
Let's do a breakdown.
And we're focusing on it. Throwaway.
Luke Rockhold KOs Joe Schilling in a karate combat fight.
They said it's his first win since 2017.
That's, wow, pre-pandemic? He hasn't won since pre-pandemic?
Yeah, because he had that killer's row of all the fighters. Like, he lost to who's who.
Good for him.
MMA,
man.
So for him to get that W, that's a big one. And Joe Schilling is a fucking animal, dude.
And the thing about karate combat, it's kind of fun what they're doing. They have a new CEO, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name. I'd love to have him on here. I've been seeing him do the podcast rounds, but... There's something about karate combat when it first came out. I was like, this is kind of dope. Like, yeah. the event mm-hmm. of it all. You know how, like, we were talking about UFC 300 and how, like, just looking at the arena, how, like, the lighting, the production design was amazing. Karate combat's been doing this for a minute, and it looks dope.
The dome is sick, and they have a lot of cool names.
It's called
a
pit.
Oh, my bad. What did I call it?
The den? Dome. The it's dome? Just like you and fingertips and palms. Everything's the same, and it's not, Nick.
Because it's not a dome.
Yeah, it's definitely a pit.
It's the inverse.
It's an actual pit.
It's the inverse of a dome.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
You're like, yeah, I love when they find in the concave spear. Wrong, Nick. Wrong. But Joe Schilling here, I thought.
I like the belts.
Oh, wait. Oh, like the black belt.
The black belt.
These guys are definitely not karate black belts.
And I like the pants.
I do. I will say this.
One There's something to it.
When we train Muay Thai, it's fine. We wear shorts. I love kicking in, like, karate or taekwondo.
So you hear the snap?
The snap makes you feel good about yourself and your life and your marriage. Sometimes I walk around my house with karate pants.
And just making it make sounds.
Hey, babe, I apologize for what I said earlier. I was being passive aggressive. But yeah, shout out to Luke Rockhold getting that check left. Joe Schilling, an amazing Muay Thai fighter, kickboxer.
He's very famous for knocking out that one guy.
At the bar,
at the
right?
Bar.
Oh, my God. Damn, that was a wild... Wait, what was that? Joe Schilling?
Just say Joe Schilling bar fight. And it's gonna you're going to see him knock out a guy in business casual clothes and face planting him who's like 5'6". And he just smokes him, dude.
Oh,
he fucking smokes
John,
him.
John, check this out if you haven't seen this. So this guy, I think he's acting like a little drunk, right?
He probably killed a bunch of sales that week.
Joe Schilling walks past him. That's Joe Schilling, right?
Yeah.
And what happens? Uh-oh. Oh!
Oh, man. That is rough.
Okay, so let's...
He's in jorts, too. Go back.
Oh, my.
Joe Schilling's in fucking jorts.
No, he's not. He's wearing full jeans.
Yeah, is he? He's wearing jean shorts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude, that's sick.
He's one of those sharks.
Yeah.
What's that show called?
What are you talking about?
The sharks that are mutant sharks that were...
Street sharks!
Street sharks! Wow. Joe Schilling is a street shark, dude. Look at that. Jorts.
One time we took a picture with Joe Schilling, and we're like, dude, Joe Schilling, you're the man, dude. And he looked at my ears, he was like, holy shit, yours are fucked up.
You know, pop, pop, knocks you out. In shorts. Jorts. Yeah, Joe Schilling is... I mean, I don't remember what that story was, but I feel bad for that guy, because that wasn't like a... He just... escalated that to a 1-2.
Yeah, maybe he said something to him. Maybe
why are you wearing jorts?
Maybe he called him an F-word or something.
Oh man, that requires a 1-2 for sure.
You know, Joe Schilling don't play that. And he just looks kind of mean, doesn't he?
Dude, he's a scary.
He's scary as shit.
There's some dudes that are just built different, and he's scary. So what do you think? So karate combat, I'm into it. I love how they're not just using karate people anymore. They're bringing in like. Didn't Anthony Pettis fight Ben Henderson?
Yeah.
Like, I like what they're doing. They're like, look, we have this kind of, we got to stand out, right, from the UFC.
Pave their own way.
Bare knuckle. There's a lot of failed MMA organizations or just combat sports organizations. But, dude, karate combat?
Dude, if Power Slap is a thing, right?
Oh my God, is it still a thing?
Look, going back to marketing as a whole, right? Who thought Power Slap would have this long of a life?
Dana White.
Yeah, no, none of us did. We were all like, what the fuck is this goddamn sport? But now it's kind of becoming a real thing. And it's because the marketing is pretty good. Like, I can't turn my head away. As much as I don't want to watch that shit,
yeah,
I can't turn my head away. But if Karate Combat keeps putting out these really exciting shows, and they get guys like Craig Jones.
Okay, so I didn't know this was a Karate Combat thing. They're doing submission grappling at Karate Combat?
Once again, they're just trying to get eyes, right? Craig Jones brings eyes to the sport.
Yeah.
He's the darling of the grappling community. He's actually opting out.
Did I say he's bigger than Gordon Ryan? I'm talking about just like social media.
Right now, he probably is, because Gordon Ryan's taking a hiatus because he has a bunch of these stomach issues that he can't compete.
Oh.
He kind of lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
You know, he's dealing with his health stuff right now. So ADCC is like the Olympics of grappling. Abu Dhabi something championship, right? Submission grappling championships. And Craig Jones famously was saying, yo, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm not going to compete this year, which is a big deal because they're paying me 10 and 10. They're paying me like $10,000 if I win.
That's it? $20K for him?
Yeah. Dude. That's if he wins the whole thing. So he's like, dude, fuck this. I would need to do seminars for me to make this worthwhile.
Which Gordon Ryan, that's how he makes money.
That's how, on top of his instructionals, which you make stupid money off of. But Gordon Ryan's also the biggest name in the sport, so he could demand kind of a little bit more. But for a guy like Craig Jones, who's competing in Karate Combat and making these... He tapped this guy out twice, by the way.
I don't understand. I didn't even see it. So the guy passed out?
So he passed out in the triangle. The ref comes in, checks, and says, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. So then they restart him back in the triangle. And then he chokes him out again to sleep. And he fights in the UFC.
Oh, who is it?
His name is Renat. Say that name.
Where is it?
Renat.
Oh, Renat Fakhretdinov. Fakhretdinov.
Yeah.
Fakhretdinov.
And he's like, I think he's like 3-0 in the UFC. He's got a bunch of wins.
Damn.
Okay. And he's like one of those scary Dagestani guys.
All right. Karate Combat.
Karate Combat's some cooking waves. Heat.
I like it. I want to go to one of those fights. We should just go to one.
We hit up Rob, dude.
Rob.
Dojo.
McDojo, hook it up, baby. All right, let's get into some fight news. Dana White claps back at MMA Media for UFC 300. Did you see the video? What did you think?
So,
what's your take on the entire thing? Salty, bitter, delicious? How do you view the marketing of it all?
So Dana White makes this video highlighting, making compilation of all the MMA media people shitting.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
All over UFC 300.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was watching this, I was like, man, these guys look real dumb saying all this stuff about UFC 300. But I remember my stance in my head, you know, as you're recollecting everything, I didn't say shit. I wasn't saying anything bad about UFC 300. But then you see all the heavy hitters, and I'm like, damn, we couldn't get no love, bro.
Yeah.
We couldn't end up on the hot mixtape.
But I will say, fire for him putting Brendan Schaub first. That's like his arch nemesis.
Yeah, because Brendan Schaub and Dana White, they go kind of back and forth, don't they? And Errol Hawani, too. They made sure that Errol Hawani's featured a lot in the UFC 300 clapbacks.
Eric,
But pretty much the whole video is compilations of everyone talking mad shit.
Also, who are some of these guys?
I have no idea.
I don't know who any of these Brian Campbell.
He does a show with Luke Thomas, right? Yeah, we got to get those guys over here. We got to talk to some fellow MMA casuals.
Jump on here. I mean, I feel like they're not casuals, but... You know, jump on air.
Respectfully, you know.
So there's two ways to look at, or there's, you know, different perspectives on this. People like Errol are like, whoa, buddy. Like, I said that at the time because that's how I felt. But I gave you props and said, that show was amazing.
Mm.
And you proved us wrong. But Dana White always holds receipts.
Yeah.
And you get to do really fun videos like this.
Yeah.
No other CEO does this.
No, this is good. This was a fun time. It makes everything interesting. Like, we need more things to talk about, creates more news for the sport. Yeah. More eyes on it, because the UFC 300 was absolutely huge. And then he shows all the stats of, I think one of the coolest stats was the Max Holloway knockout. Was the most liked video of all time in UFC's Instagram.
Duh.
And they got 3 million more followers on the UFC page. So
three highest gate. Is it just Conor fights?
Oh, yeah, probably. So it's pretty cool to see how far the sport has come. And then we all know how special UFC 300 was, because that shit was special.
Very special.
And the fights that came out of it, the moments that came out of from it. Number one trend in three in China.
China, let's go.
Well, that's huge.
That's huge for Nick.
I can't wait.
China,
dude.
Number one. Halloween.
Definitely. And then to see all those. Yeah, dude. It deserves way more credit than it got, for sure. But
you know what? I've been thinking. I'm still on the UFC 300 like energy train. I still think about it. I still like look up stuff about what's going on, aftermath. After thinking about it, I feel kind of bad. Not kind of. I just feel bad for Justin Gaethje, man.
Yeah.
He took the risk when it's like everyone's like, bro, just fight for the title, man.
Did you see his statement?
No. What'd he say?
He's a class act, dude.
What'd he say?
He just was, hey, I went out there, took a shot, took a risk. I knew if I beat Max Holloway, I would have fought for the title. But that's the nature of the beast. That's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
So, once again, another reason why everyone loves fucking Justin Gaethje. He doesn't give any excuses. He just says what it is and lets everyone else speak for him, really. Oh, yeah.
And speaking of Gaethje and Holloway, Max did a little interview and he tried to show us with this terrible X quality, his legs. Hey, X, how about you fix your quality?
Elon, what's going on, dude?
Come
it's like
on,
240p.
What? It's, this is less than 240. It's like 10.
140p?
How is Tucker Carlson doing a show on here? That's crazy.
He does a show on X?
Yeah, so after he got fired from Fox, he was like, I'm just going to go to X.
Wow.
That's where he did Putin. That was on X.
That was on X?
Like, Elon's making moves. Apparently, X is buying up content these days. And I heard they're buying up podcasts.
Hey, X.
Hey,
come
X.
On.
What's up? You want like a less than 10K view podcast?
Yeah, you want about 3K, 4 to 5K views?
Yeah, come on board. We got a rabid fan base. We actually do. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah, shout out to the fans, bro. You guys are awesome.
You guys are keep. We got a really great episode last week.
You guys keep us alive.
You came to support. So keep doing it. Keep sharing the podcast. That's a mid-roll ad. Share, subscribe.
Yeah, please share it to a friend that likes MMA
or hates it. We still
or friends that you might think would hate our stupid takes.
Or just tag Ryan Garcia and tell him to come on. We side with
King
him.
Ryan. Dude.
King Ryan, baby. Jamal Hill, Khalil Roundtree for UFC 303. I saw this and I love this booking. It's a little scary.
Khalil Roundtree is that motherfucker, bro.
He is. What, is he on a 5-fight win streak right now?
I just saw the fight with him and Anthony Smith.
Scary.
And where he's standing over Anthony Smith about to drop a hammer fist and then doesn't.
Oh, God.
This dude is incredible. Do you think it's a little quick for Jamal Hill to come back?
What yes and no. Here's my thing. I heard Jamal Hill talk about this fight. He said, you know what? I'm that motherfucker, too.
Yeah.
He kind of is.
You got to have the attitude, I think.
I really like what he's doing. He's not moping around. Is it too soon? Probably. Mm-hmm. But it's like,
but we're normies.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not a normie.
This guy was on Contender Series and became champion. I don't care what you say, who he fought. Bro, he became champion of UFC. We talk about Alex Pereira all the time, but like Jamal Hill became a champion pretty quick too.
Yeah.
And fought some bad guys.
And coming off of big losses. Remember he lost to Paul Craig and his arm got fucking destroyed?
Yeah.
And everybody was kind of writing him off because no one really thought, I think in the UFC space, in the MMA space, no one really thought Jamal Hill could be champ the way he was and how quick he did. And for him to beat Glover Teixeira the way he did,
Oh my God.
I wasn't expecting that. But Khalil Roundtree...
We've been following him for a long time. Would you say like he could have been on the path to just being a journeyman? Because he was winning, losing, winning. We saw the talent there.
He made some adjustments.
What would you say the biggest adjustment is?
Well, it was Muay Thai, right?
So he went to Thailand, right?
His clinch, his everything. He just looks way more calm.
He's a Tiger Muay Thai guy, right?
Yeah, and he polished, because we all know he has raw talent. Mm-hmm. He hits like a truck, and if you could harness it the right way, you'd be like, all right, cool, let's see what happens. Because I remember in his fight for the Tough finale, mm-hmm. the big knock was he got held down and just laid and prayed. You know, and everybody was like, oh, he's a quitter. He's got no fighting in him. And I think for a lot of fighters, that would be kind of where they would start to have that downfall. They start listening to the fans a little bit. They listen to the media. And then they kind of have this identity of like, yeah, maybe I don't have it in me. And then for him to make the changes that he has in his career, dude, he's a freaking animal. And
he's big, man.
And he's fun to watch. His style is so pretty to watch. And he's throwing knees in all these different places. There's this one training video that he has where he's doing clinch sparring with some other black dude.
I saw that.
And a black dude hits him with a crazy elbow.
And then he just trips.
Hits him with a beautiful trip. Yeah, so
I got Kemba.
So seeing Khalil Roundtree get a main event against a former champ,
it's tough.
They're gonna definitely build him up to be something, man.
But Khalil, man, I think everything is. I mean, early picks go. I'll give you.
I got Khalil, bro.
Give me your reasons why, and I'll give you mine.
I got Khalil. I think the height is gonna be a problem. The speed might be a problem, but. The funniest comment in the world, anytime Khalil fights, there's always the top comment that says, Khalil Roundtree fights like he's beating somebody up like he owes them money, like they owe him money. And it's true because there's so much like malice in every punch that he throws.
That's what makes me a little worried, though, about him like burning out during a fight.
You know, definitely.
Like a five-round fight, just throwing everything.
Yeah. But, you know, he's... I think the gradual increase of competition that he's fought, sometimes you can't rush guys. And I think Khalil Roundtree is a good example of that.
And this is another great example, if we're watching this, that this guy owes him money. What yeah. is this?
He's just jumping these guys, dude.
I'm late on my car payments.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, like I just imagine he's talking through his teeth while he's beating these guys up.
Oh, do you remember that? Oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
No.
That oblique kick?
Oh!
Yeah.
All right. Show this clip, Michael, but just like blur that part out because that's insane. Okay.
And that's as he's
side tangent. Another MMA side tangent. Is that kick, should that be happening in this sport?
Yeah.
Good. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to test you to see because
it's,
you
know, it's like you can't knock it, bro. You got to be aware of those front kicks. You got to be aware of those oblique kicks.
And how do you feel about this? Do you think UFC, as they evolve, should we include soccer kicks and also...
Soccer kicks is a little wide. Wide.
You
is
think
a little wild.
You think a
soccer... Bro, a soccer
pretty,
kick...
But that's also like...
A soccer kick is rough, dude. Because it's... It's shin bone to the side of your head. You could do way more damage, I think, with it. Brain trauma is like, bro, you can't come back from that shit. You tear your ACL. Obviously, it's a damaging injury.
Yeah.
But you could potentially come back from that, right? Like, and be fine.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go with Khalil Roundtree. I just want to put it out there. I do love Jamal Hill. I'm a big fan of him. I'd love him to come on here. Love your content on YouTube. I just wish he would take a little break, but I'm also just kind of a little bit on the Khalil Roundtree, just seeing
him. I'm on the train.
I'm a little on the train. He's in a good place right now. He's on a good fight win streak. He's, I think mentally, he's in a happier place.
Yeah.
I know he just got married to Mia Kang in Thailand. Let's
whoa,
go.
Whoa.
She's also Muay Thai. Good partner, good support system. I think Khalil, he could be champion.
Because everybody was talking about,
I would love to see him in Alex.
That's what everybody was talking about.
These are like, what a clear path for him to get to the belt. Jamal Hill. Woo. Jamal's not going to want to wrestle.
No. He's going to stand and bang.
He's going to stand and bang. And then Alex, if they ever fought, he's not going to wrestle.
That's going to be insane.
These are just good matches for Khalil right now. Unless Ankalaev shows up, then a little different story.
Yeah. You want to know what's crazy from this video clip that we talked about of Khalil sparring right here in the clinch? When I first saw this video, I was like, I can't believe he just did that to Jared Cannonier.
Okay. It's not Jared Cannonier.
It's not, I know.
But
it kind of looks like him.
The same haircut.
Yeah, same
it's
haircut.
Really the haircut.
From behind, it kind of looks like.
That could have been a white guy with that haircut. I'd be like, Jared, it's the hair for me.
Let me tell you, if it was a white guy with that haircut, I'd be like, cancel that, man. Get rid of that guy. You can't do this, brother.
Hey, you make my hair look like this photo.
Like Jared Cannonier.
We can't do that to your hair, dude.
Brother, we can't do this.
No, do it. And I'm going to fight Khalil Roundtree.
Yeah.
But yeah, very excited for this fight. What
big fight for Khalil.
On International Fight Week, we got, Connor.
Is that a UFC card? UFC 303.
303, dude. That's.
Oh, is that the Connor card?
That's the
card. Ooh,
we might have to. We might have to support Khalil Roundtree.
That's going to be an insane fight. Holy shit.
Speaking of UFC 303, Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler on that card as well. It's finally happening. The card is looking kind of yummy right now. We got Jamal Hill, Khalil Roundtree, Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. I think there was another fight announced. I'm trying to remember who it was. I'll look it up. But big news, we're not going to go to that fight.
Why not, yo?
Why? Because the tickets cost $12,000.
I saw some people were complaining about the nosebleeds being around $300, $400.
This is kind of like UFC Miami a bit, huh?
Was it like that at UFC Miami?
I think tickets were kind of... You sounded like you fight. I don't want... Why not? What? Say it again? Was it like UFC?
Hey, I'm not gonna do that again. You gotta rewind it.
Rewind it because you kind of sounded like Max Holloway for a bit.
Whatever, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
We got Michelle Waterson finding that card. Jelani Robertson, Joe Pyfer back at that card.
Oh, Joe Pyfer. Okay,
that's. I'm curious. They're probably gonna do one other big fight on that card. If they already got Jamal Hill.
Oh, they didn't even add it yet. Okay,
that's
cool.
On you. So there's still more to happen on this card.
Yeah, it's still very early. Still early.
But yeah, $12,000. That's rough. I'm sure that's probably to sit down.
So it's floor seats plus like you get to go to all the special. Pretty much what Robin got to do.
Oh, per person. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's the you get to go to all the VIP events. Maybe probably meet some of the fighters, yeah. And 12K. And then they had one below it for 11.5K.
You know what? I can afford that one.
Same shit. Same thing. So,
who goes to the, I mean, like, I'm a super fan, but like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, we just sound poor. We just sound poor right now.
Yeah, I'm also, guys.
John could probably afford it. We can't.
Oh, for sure. He has like 18 monitors in front of him. He's got all the money for all this
stuff.
He's
the man in charge right now.
But yeah, that's tough. I mean,
But it's a McGregor fight. It's traditionally the UFC Irish, International Week.
Yeah, it's a big card.
That's the craziest.
Irish fans are going to come in.
Yeah.
There's the expo there, so a lot of international people. I think even the idea of the Conor McGregor being a McGregor fight is that all these celebrities are going to pay money to go to the fight.
Absolutely.
We'll see everyone there.
But also, too, with UFC 300, everyone's talking about the UFC.
Yeah.
Everybody wants
good
to get a piece.
Build up.
Absolutely. So they could probably bump up the ticket prices a little bit because now it's...
You missed out on 300. Don't miss it on this.
Yeah, man. I think it's only going to get more expensive from here. It's like real estate, dude. You got to get in early.
Okay, this is going to sound crazy. I think if Michael Chandler gets hurt, Max Holloway needs to step up. Holloway needs to step up.
That would be Conor's worst nightmare.
I think he'd like that matchup. Worst nightmare, but I think he likes that matchup.
Yeah, that's true.
He want to throw down, brother.
So there's some footage of Conor sparring. Have you seen some of that?
Oh, no, but I got some right now.
And he's looking real flowy. He's doing his, you know, spinning back
every
kicks.
Every time, but then he doesn't.
Okay, so check this out. A lot of things that I didn't even think about.
Is this the footage?
This is one of the footages. One of the clips. One of the footages.
One of the
footages. And one of the main comments is,
show me.
The guys even sparring hard with Conor? Are they even pushing him? Because it looks like...
I don't think they are. I always feel like I don't know who these guys he's sparring with are, but sometimes I'm like, why is he fighting that guy?
Look at all the people in the crowd.
Conor pays for people just to watch him spar.
That would be sick. But I think that is a war... Like, that does make me worried, right? Because Conor's such a big name. Everybody wants to be cool with Conor.
Is this SBG?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, he's just spinning back kicking people.
I want him to do that. I just don't know if he's going to do that in the fight. Because then he'll just go into like karate stands Conor. That's peak Conor. Boxing stands Conor. No bueno.
No. He can't try to box.
No bueno, Silva.
But already him, stupid. Already him throwing kicks and doing all this stuff. I'm like, okay, this is great to see. But
early pick.
Take down Conor.
Okay. I'm asking the wrong question. Truthfully, in terms of fight analysis, Conor. Not heart, because we want Conor to win, obviously.
Yeah, I think Conor can win. There's a lot of ifs, right? But style-wise.
In a video that he can take him down whenever he wants.
He probably could, but he's got to get past that left hand.
Is the left hand even a scary thing anymore?
Absolutely.
Really? Because Dustin Poirier said nah.
That motherfucker.
Because Dustin Poirier said nah.
He got cracked by that, and he still came back and beat him up. But that's Dustin Poirier. He's the diamond. He's jumping gillies all day.
But then there's also this clip, right above that video of sparring footage of Conor just being, you know, drinking wine, talking to the camera, looking a little bit.
He said he's gonna stop drinking alcohol.
Crazy eyes.
Yeah, but that's always Conor.
Doing Jake Gyllenhaal films.
So we have a friend of a friend.
Like wearing a polo while working out. Like, what is this?
We have a friend of a friend of a friend who friend knows Conor, who worked with Conor.
Do I know this
like
person?
Some real estate stuff? No, you don't know.
Okay.
And they were telling us that the way Conor is in Roadhouse is exactly the way he is in real life.
Oh, no. Breaking car doors, Prius doors.
Dumping, just walking around. Dumping. That's funny.
Is that what he was saying when he was naked?
That's his name. That guy's name is Dalton, so he's calling.
Oh,
Dalton, and he's just
that's it.
Dumping. Yeah, he's walking around.
Dude, you're a big fan. I'm starting to realize. Past couple of episodes, you always find a way to bring this movie up.
Bro, Conor's the man.
Tell me what you like about Roadhouse.
Conor. That's the only reason why I watched the fucking movie.
What, is if, it was, of what if it was Bisping and then Gyllenhaal?
It wouldn't have been as fun. Like, Bisping is great, but like, Connor was the comedy relief in that movie.
That's true.
He made me laugh more than any Madea movie I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why I brought that up, but I just, it was the only thing on the forefront of my brain, so I had to use it as an example. All
right.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, you know?
All right.
You don't know Madea?
Love Madea that shoots in Atlanta. You think I auditioned for some of those? I never get it. Yeah.
They got no Asian people in that.
I know. I always get an audition for it. I'm like, I'm not booking the role for Daryl. Daryl?
It's Darnell. It's
my bad. All right. Let's get into, okay, there's some fights this week, but let's just.
Let's talk about
just
it.
Just say names. Go ahead.
So remember.
Be quick though, because we got to get a question.
Pull up the names. Pull up the names.
All right. But keep talking.
It was Alex Perez.
Yes.
He's fighting as a last-minute replacement, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Against Matisse Nicolau.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that beat Matt Schnell, and he KO'd him a bunch, remember? He dropped him like three or four times.
Oh, that's right.
And he did that cool samurai sword thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't watched much of Matisse, but I feel like Alex could get in there with his wrestling a little bit and mix things up and make it a little dogfight. But...
All right, I'm going to go Alex, too. If you say
I'm going to go Alex.
Solid wrestler.
Yeah, he's a dog, too.
If you're a dog and you wrestle, and I don't know too much about your fights, that's who I'm picking.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan Spann and Bogdan Guskov. Oh, my gosh. Guskov.
Bogdan.
Bogdan.
He's one of the guys that looks just like Anthony Smith.
Yeah, that's the guy, right?
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah.
Then I'm picking Anthony Smith.
Yeah.
Uzbekistan.
I'm going Ryan Spann,
dude. Ryan Spann is a great fighter.
Ryan Spann is scary as hell. Mm-hmm. He's knocking guys out with jabs.
Would some say he's Clark Kent?
Yeah, some people say that.
Guys, he has a Superman logo on his chest.
So Ryan Spann's the man, dude.
Maybe I should pick.
Click Ryan Spann. Who did he lose to recently? Because I know he's coming off a loss, yeah?
Did he fight? Yeah, Anthony Smith!
They did this as a joke.
That's a fit. Check that out, John. This is the last guy he lost to, right?
A split.
Anthony Smith, and look at the guy he's fighting.
Same person. Same person.
They're making him fight Anthony twice to make him relive the trauma.
And I think Bogdan's only had one or two fights in the UFC.
I take it back. I want Ryan Spann to win. I want him to get redemption over Anthony Smith. That's the closest he's going to get.
Against evil Anthony Smith.
All right. Women's flyweight. We got Corrine Silva. Shout out to that hair. That's dope. And it's Ariane Lipsky.
I've seen Ariane Lipsky, and she's pretty solid.
She's good. Jiu-jitsu.
But she's been on a little bit of a skid, yeah? Can you click on her? Corrine Silva, I think. I'm going to go Corrine Silva.
Oh, nice. She's on a 3-0 skid of winning.
Oh,
you
shit. She
dumbass.
Beat O'Neal? Oh, shit. She chucked out O'Neal?
Yeah, I've never heard anyone go, dude, I think she's kind of on a skid of winning.
But that's 2023? She hasn't fought since? Okay. Oh, that's December.
Hey, when you're winning a bunch, you got
shit, all right, Lipsky. Let's go Lipsky. I wonder why she's the underdog.
Lipsky by tap out. Probably because of time. All right, we got Austin Lane, who looks oddly familiar. I don't know why. Versus Jahanta Deniz. I like that.
Austin Lane is the guy who coaches Izzy Adesanya, I think.
Eugene, I was like, is that Eugene that like Behrman?
It looks like Eugene Behrman, dude.
I'm going to go with him because he looks like Eugene Behrman. Yeah, that's a good beard.
I'm going to go with a guy named Yonata, bro.
Yonata?
No, Jay Silent?
Yonata.
I'm going to go Deniz.
Deniz. We got Jonathan Pierce versus David Onama. Onama, Uganda. Where's David so when you need him to do
an African accent?
African accent. I can't.
I don't know. That's David. Know. That's the only thing we could do. I don't know.
Do we Koopa?
David Onama, I like him.
You know what it is? When I do it, I just feel like I shouldn't be doing it. But when David does it, it feels right.
It feels like you're good.
Yeah, like he gets a pass.
That's how I feel about you when you do Conor McGregor. I'm like, Nick's good. Some people do. I'm like, that's too much.
I don't walk in God.
No, when you say Dalton.
That fucking scene where he's walking around with a mic. That's just ridiculous.
Hey, Michael, edit a clip of Nick doing Dalton and Connor doing Dalton.
Side by side.
Side by side, and let's have people vote who did.
I watched Roadhouse before I came here.
Dalton. Dude, you're dumb. All right. Tim Means first.
Dirty
Earl
Bird all
edit.
Day, dude. I'm never not rooting for Dirty Bird.
I normally would go for people with the most amount of marks on the name, but today...
Apostrophes?
Dirty Bird to me.
Dirty Bird.
Also, let's do a quick thing. Ronnie Yahya... Yaya?
Yaya, Randy Yaya.
Yeah, he's been fighting for 85 years, huh?
But I got the homie Victor Henry, dude.
Why is he
Couple of my buddies train with him. A couple of my snow bunnies be training with Victor Henry. And he's the man. I've been watching him fight out of the UFC. Mm-hmm. He fought a bunch of Russian organizations, and he came to the UFC, beat a lot of really good guys, Ronnie Barcelos or whatever. He's the man. And he's minus 500, so I'm going to go Victor Henry.
I'm going to go with Victor Henry as well because, you know, you got to trust Nick in these matters. Is there anyone else who you want to call? There's a lot of fighters. I want to get to the questions before our time runs out.
Let's go to the questions. Let's talk to the fans.
Someone named Machete.
Machete.
I like when a Chinese guy is named Machete.
He looks like he's from Venezuela.
Yeah, he does. That looks Chinese at all.
He don't look Chinese.
But above him.
He looks indigenous, bro.
Above him, Chinese face, Chinese name.
Yeah, that looks like me.
That's John Na's sister. Liang Na.
Liang Na, dude.
Guys, leave in the comments below if Liang Na is related to John Na.
John says he's Korean. I don't think so. I think he's Chinese, brother.
John, you're Chinese.
You might be Chinese.
He's not even defending.
I'm 100% Korean.
He's like, don't fucking say that.
I'm a little nervous there, buddy. Right. Guys, it's that time of the show where we do fan questions.
Whoa.
Lights are slowly changing.
Hey, dude, that's pretty good.
Come on, John. Faster on the light. It's still... There we go.
I haven't seen lights this fast in my life, dude.
All right. Well, you haven't been around enough professional sets. That was kind of slow, John, but we'll work on it. We're going to get some better tech. All right. This is a question from Instagram from Garmendez22. If Poatan goes up to heavyweight, how fast does he get a belt fight? Oh, I think
immediate.
I think his first fight at heavyweight is a belt fight. Is there a world where Poatan goes up to heavyweight without a belt?
Maybe like a last-minute replacement or something. Just to see what's up.
Like an Anderson Silva, Forrest Griffin?
Kind of. Like, that would be kind of sick.
Who would be impressive?
Like, that's some Alex Pereira shit, though.
Yeah. Who would he fight last minute? Like, that'd be impressive at heavyweight. Because, say, Tom Aspinall not fighting, whatever. Or Stipe or John. Of course we want those fights. Cyril gone? Ooh! Yes? Striker fight? That's a good matchup for him.
Like, there's a fight with Volkov versus... the other Russian guy who looks just like him, who's not Volkov.
Yeah.
Sergey.
Tolkov.
No. Sergey, the guy who got knocked out
By Tom.
So they're fighting in a world. Check this out. This is the most realistic.
Nick. Do it. The lights change.
Somebody pulls out. One of those guys gets injured. They're having a hard time finding a last minute replacement. And then guess who steps up for the UFC fight night? Pereira.
Steps up to UFC fight night.
Yeah, at the Apex. Actually, as I'm saying it, I'm like, it's probably not likely. But, dude, he's such a big name right now. If they need a big blockbuster fight for a later UFC, I could totally see them being like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do fucking Pereira and Aspinall, depending on... Because John Jones, the Stipe stuff, it's going to put a hitch in things. So I don't know what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean...
What do you think?
Poatan... Here's the thing. I think, based off on this question, I think he's just going to fight for the belt. He only goes up if he gets the belt.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't have a long window. He's not going to be like, I need to work my way up to a heavyweight fight. It's going to be a belt right away, whoever it is. I don't care.
Because that makes for a really good story, too.
I love it.
The good marketing is there.
You can be a three-belt champion in, like, 10 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's insane. All right. Here's one. I think I now get this guy's question. This is from Ian_Jeremy97. What is the best meme base for MMA?
Meme?
Yeah. Isn't that the thing that we just said?
Yeah.
Which was?
I have no fucking idea what
that was. Yeah, we were looking at memes. You pointed it out. And I was like, I get it now.
I forgot
the answer.
I don't even know the context. I just said PowerPoint is probably the...
Ryan Garcia. Because you were saying something about, like, what's the best base after... Oh, cocaine.
Cocaine.
Meme base.
Is that what he means?
I think that's, like...
Free base? You're saying free base or meme base?
M-E-M-E. So now I'm guessing, like, cocaine.
Or is he talking about MMA?
Hey, look, Ian_Jeremy, maybe you can send another question next week and clarify this, because that was quite confusing. Is there anything on the YouTubes?
Yeah, let's see what we got here. So we have the first one, training with CJ.
You look for one. I'll read this question.
Yeah, read it.
This is training with CJ from the YouTube. Been a fan since We Out Here MMA. Thanks. Shout out to Lift God Acosta, a.k.a. my powerlifting brethren.
Hey.
One question. Should a beginner focus on one fighting style or jump right into learning wrestling, BJJ, Muay Thai, all fresh and new? Love the podcast, guys. We need casuals, MMA merch. Don't worry. If you can get us more views on this podcast, buddy, get more people here, we will make merch. Also, yes, we need to see more fucking Leg David Sterling. So guess what? Those shorts keep getting on shorter. They keep getting shorter. And what can I say? You'll see his dick at one point.
Yeah, we're going to have to blur it out. We're going to put
it's
a blur.
Blur.
More for the production.
Like, question for Nick. Nick, what is your philosophy on someone wanting to get into, I guess he's MMA or just fighting?
I think nowadays you kind of have to learn a stand up. I used to always say just stick with one.
Yeah.
Pick one, stick with that for a little bit, and then you can branch off. But I feel like nowadays you have to have some sort of striking art and some sort of grappling art. You need both.
Yeah.
So whether you pick and choose and do BJJ or wrestling, or nowadays most jiu-jitsu gyms have a combination of both because wrestling is such a big part of the meta in competition jiu-jitsu. And even in MMA, it's like you can't really get to the fight to the ground unless you know how to wrestle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you need to do some sort of grappling. Boxing is always good, and Muay Thai. You can't go wrong with either of those things. Yeah. I would say either probably Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu would probably be the best thing you could probably do.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, right.
Especially also, like, I don't know if you're trying to be a professional fighter, but if you're trying to do it more just I want to learn, mm-hmm. you don't have to, like, pay all this money for all these classes. You can just, like, what Nick was saying, you probably could just start at one, fall in love with it. Try something different.
Definitely.
But I guess it depends on what you're trying to do with fighting.
Yeah, if you're just trying to learn self-defense, I would say learn some jiu-jitsu, learn some Muay Thai.
Jiu-jitsu.
It's probably going to be the best well-rounded base that you could learn.
Were there any new questions on that?
No, it's the same ones.
Okay, cool. Y'all think Holloway would fight McGregor at 170? If does, how does his fight play out? We talked about it a bit, but I don't know if Max would fight McGregor at 170. Do you think that would be a thing?
You know what? I feel like Max Holloway is a bad matchup for McGregor in general.
Even at 170?
Yeah, I think so.
Max is like big, but not that big.
But he's 5'11", dude. That frame can put on a little bit more body weight than probably Conor's frame. Mm-hmm. Conor's a big, strong guy, but it's not even that. It's just the conditioning.
Yeah.
Right? If Conor can't knock out Holloway, which is very likely, him not being able to KO him in the first couple rounds, I think the later rounds just plays into Holloway's pace. Mm-hmm. It's just a perfect matchup for Holloway. And Holloway has shown that he's elusive. He could defend big power punches. And he could just slice people up. So I feel like that McGregor fight is going to be really interesting as a rematch. And this is the best Max we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And this is the worst Conor we've seen.
There you guys have it. Nick thinks Holloway at 170 beats McGregor.
And I think most people would say that, right? Well, do you think that's fair? What do you think?
The 170? Look at Ryan Garcia between 135 and 143. See, weight does play a difference.
Absolutely.
It?
But once again,
and
how tall is Conor?
Tall enough to go, down. What if Carter's next walkout, but Michael Chandler, who plays the Dalton character? What's his name? Thrash?
I don't know. I don't even know what his name is in the movie.
But you know he says Dalton all the time.
I know he says Dalton.
All right, this question is from, we'll do one more question. We got to go, guys. This is at MMMChin. Hyphenated ZP2FS. We'll say at MMM Chin. Do you think the greatest combat athletes are born or made? Yes. Y'all deserve a lot more attention than you have now. Much love, Chris from New Jersey. Thank you, Chris.
Shout out, Chris. Thank you.
Like I said, help us, man. Help us get
tell more friends
eyeballs on this. All right. Do you think the greatest combat athletes are born or made? Ooh, that's a good one.
I think they're made, dude. I think they're like, obviously you're born with God-given a talent and ability, but
you get what you get, right?
How you stay in the game, how you become champion is based on the habits, your training habits, your mentality, your mindset. I think all those come, that's harder to develop.
Who do you think is a fighter, just for example, maybe doesn't have the best athletic ability but became a champion?
Fucking look at Max Holloway.
There you go.
Like he doesn't necessarily, he's not a specialist in any kind of, like he's obviously a stand-up guy, right?
But physically, he's not like a cyborg-looking like.
Yeah,
that
he
dude.
Looks. Yeah, he's this tall, skinny, lanky guy.
He said he didn't fight when he was younger. He was kind of just.
He doesn't have crazy power punches. He doesn't. On paper, I think a lot of people might say he doesn't have God-given ability, right? Yeah. I don't think that's true, but I think a lot of people would say that.
Yeah.
And he's a good example of that. Demetrius Johnson,
another guy. Yeah,
he's just a really technical, highly skilled guy who spent the time to train. Muay Thai specifically, do a bunch of Muay Thai fights, do a bunch of jiu-jitsu fights, just gather all the skill bases and uses his brain a lot more. Corey Sandhagen, he's not a champion, but he's probably going to be eventually. Yeah. You can say the same thing about Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, he has one punch KO power, but it's about how he sets it up.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's like, like Ngannou, who's just raw talent.
So like that is a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Probably one would say that's great.
He's raw talent.
Example of like, oh, he was born.
Mm-hmm.
He was born just to knock you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alex Pereira even a little bit, maybe that.
Yeah.
Natural power born.
But you look at how he's been able to, like, a lot of times in fighting, they always say you can't just be a big puncher. You have to have technique. They would say that about, like, Deontay Wilder. He's just a big puncher. But, you know, that can get you really, really far. Mm-hmm. But against the top echelon guys who are just as big as you, just as fast as you, and then when skills are equal or when weight's equal and skills aren't really equal, you start to see the big gap because it is a skill-based sport. Of course, being physically strong, athletic, having great conditioning, aerobic base, whatever, that could help and bring you up. But how you develop those skills over time and use it all together is really important. Because they always say, like, fighting is mental.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you don't come into the ring with your ability to be like, I am the baddest motherfucker here, and I'm going to knock you out. I'm here to fight. I think it's really hard for people to excel in the sport if they don't have that mentality. All right. So, yeah. Kind of a long answer for a very short question. Yeah.
He's like, bro, I was just trying to say PS, good job. Relax, Nick. I don't need your freaking TED Talk. Guys.
Sorry, dude. Sorry.
That is our show today. This was fun. It was the first time just two people on here. But guess what? We kind of roll with it. As that one guy from the UFC would say, we rolling.
Bert.
I almost said Kreischer. What's his name?
Bert Watson.
Bert Watson.
Bert Kreischer
We
Watson.
Should get Bert Watson on here.
That'd be
What's
sick.
He up to?
Talk to him. Catch up with him.
I'm gonna. Hey, what's up? Long time no see, Papa.
Why did he get fired? Why did he get left from the UFC? What
I happened? Think it was the merger. They were axing people. That
wow. Happened.
But like, that's why people were complaining. Like, he added so much to that.
Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing. He added so much to that. Remember, everyone was like, "Why?
Everyone loved Bert.
Would you fire him?" Like, fighters were pissed. But then once again, UFC brand. We haven't thought about him since.
Yeah.
UFC is really good at. Just
but he would really add to the brand now, though.
100%.
He'd be a great character to bring on.
On mic somewhere.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bert Watson, come on this podcast.
We're looking for you, man.
We're looking for you, man.
We're looking for you.
Make sure you follow Nick at Nick the Ear. You can follow me at Gilbus. But make sure you follow Oz Media. Subscribe to this channel. And also, leave a comment down below. How about this, guys? How about you leave your questions in the comments for next week, and we'll answer some of those. So if anything comes up the next couple days news-wise, or you just have burning questions for a guy like Nick or David, just put them down in the comments below. And hopefully, we'll also get that one guest that was supposed to be here today on pretty soon, because it's going to be dope.
Yeah.
We love you. See you guys next week.
Peace.